want to thank you for checking out another podcast of Ferocious Talk, where we ain't scared. My name is A1, and last week's podcast was really good. We talked about the, it was a thank you for the Ferocious for Flint, Philadelphia show. As all of you know that listen to this podcast regularly, we are on a 10-city tour. We are raising money and awareness for Flint, Michigan, for water filters. So we had a really good turnout in Philly, and we're excited about the next two cities that we're going to visit in July. We'll be in Detroit on Saturday, July the 15th, and we'll also be in Flint on Saturday, July 29th. So we definitely want to make sure if you're in that city that you come out and you support. I want to shout out Black Lives Matter. This is important. Please keep doing what you're doing. The only purpose that organization has ever attempted to do was to tell everyone that our lives matter. We're not more important. We're not less important, but we're equally as important. Now, here's where you can find me. You can find me at Podomatic.com under Society and Culture. You can also find me at iTunes under the category Personal Journals. You can find me on Twitter at We Ain't Scared or at Ferocious Talk. All right. Well, thank you for letting me get that out of the way. Now, today, I have a very special in-studio guest. Well, by phone, I should say. And this gentleman is someone that I met in San Diego on our Ferocious for Flint tour. This was back on Saturday, April the 8th. His name is Greg McKnight Jr. He is a spoken word artist, and we have a very interesting topic that we're going to be talking about. But first, I want to bring Greg on. Hey, Greg, how are you today?
Man, doing blessed, brother. How you doing?
I'm great. And let me say thank you. I appreciate you coming on the show. I think what we're going to be talking about today is something that is extremely important, and as the listeners will soon find out, caused a bit of a stir in your particular part of this of the state, of city, and so we're gonna dive in. And so for the listeners, the topic for today is the effeminization of Black men. Again, the effeminization of Black men. So here's the setup for the listeners. I think it was about maybe 3 weeks ago. Greg and I are friends on Facebook, and Greg posted something about his disapproval, rightfully so, of the industry and its constant barrage of effeminizing Black men in the media. He was met with a lot of negative feedback from people in his community, spoken word community in his city, that seemed like everybody was at least like-minded. But as he discovered, there were some unfortunate side effects to it. So, Greg, I don't want to talk too much for you. Hopefully that was a good enough description. So I'm going to turn it over to you, and I really want to get your thoughts on what prompted you to make the statement that you made, right? What you encountered and how you feel about what you encountered. Okay. So the floor is yours, and take it away. Go ahead.
Appreciate that, Mark. So I am a 27-year-old Black man. Also, my mother is Filipino, but I, from my understanding, we all came from Africa. So I, as a Black man, 27 years in this world, in this society, have been going through constant bombardment of the effeminization of the Black male through media, through music, through movies. We got our men out here wearing skirts, got purses, these rompers, it all started with the rompers. This Facebook post all started with the rompers. You know, the rompers came out. Okay. This is the initial post on Facebook. The rompers came out. Boom. They're talking about these rompers now. And in my mind at this point, going through a life of bombardment, now that it being so deliberate, so in your face, like it's not even covert anymore. It's just like, and this is what is supposed to be deemed as justified or accepted as okay when it's not okay. It's not at all. So it's like, I'm an entertainer, right? I'm in the industry that's pushing where our rappers, which is the role models of what these children look up to, the Lil Yachty's and the Lil Uzi Verts and the with the red hair and the blonde tips and the dresses on, is not as a real rap and hip hop head. That is not the real shit. Excuse my language.
No, you can.
But that is not the realness. That is not the real. You know what I'm saying? And then that's what is being bombarded into. Cause I'm in the youth. I'm teaching the youth at the school. I'm at the schools, middle schools and high schools here in San Diego, California. Going in there, teaching poetry, spoken word, and rap to the youth up in the schools, and also to people when I do go to the events in the San Diego, LA, Southern California region. So I am doing this. You know what I'm saying? I'm not speaking from a spectator point of view. I am speaking from someone that is in it. I'm in it, but I'm not with no shit dicks. Excuse my language but I'm not with no flip-flop blackness. You know what I'm saying? So these black people that people are entrusting are flip-floppy. You know what I'm saying? You got to be like, yo, I'm not with the fake. I'm not with the, I can't fake the funk. I'm not with the fags. I can't turn myself gay. I got to stay an independent artist so I can maintain my substance and my rectum.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And my anal cavity, because I know what y'all motherfuckers is sick.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Y'all sick. So I'm like, you know what I'm saying? And from my experience, like it's, boom,
okay.
You know what I'm saying? My words.
Yeah, and I'm glad that you did speak on it, because I think a couple of things, and I'm going to pose some questions to you. When you put up the post, okay, you were a member, and you had a lot of friends. We're going to talk about what happened in terms of retaliation from the friends and them, unfriending. But then also, I want to talk to you about what other sorts of responses have you been given? So one, what happened after you made the post with your friends on Facebook? What was the reaction?
Okay, so the reaction to the post was an immediate public crucifixion, like, because it is a community that is the majority of homosexuality, LGBTQ community. So it was something that the whole community felt like they had something to say about it, when my issue was directed and geared at towards myself as a black male. And then, if I'm speaking as a black male, I can speak on other black males in my regard, in my sense. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm 27 years old. You know what I'm saying? I got experience. I've been in the military, Navy for 6 years. I got a daughter, 5 years old.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So my, at this point, being a heterosexual in this combat against the effeminization of the black male and having black babies, I example my daughter, and remaining straight is an activism. In this industry, because it's not about the industry. I am an entertainer. I am an educator.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not the industry that I need to be a part of.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because I don't need to be bending my ass over on no table or sucking no dick, my brother. On some real shit.
Yeah.
On some real. On some real, my brother. Excuse my language.
No, you're good.
Again.
You're good. No, you're good. And I like it, because let's keep, as you say, let's keep it real. That's the reality. Somebody is bending over, right? And allowing someone to penetrate their anus, or they're getting on their knees and they are copulating another man. I mean, let's not pretend that that's not the reality, right? We got to call things what they are. You want to live a certain lifestyle, but you want to sanitize what that lifestyle involves. right? Mm. You know, you can't have it both ways. It's perverted. We know that. And everybody, now let me just say this as well, because I think some of this is important to qualify. Everybody has a right to choose for themselves what they believe is good for them, whether I agree with it or not, right? And this is just being fair to everybody involved. Now, what's not tolerable is the people or the groups, right, that claim that they want tolerance, but they themselves practice intolerance when the messenger doesn't agree with their lifestyle, right? So you cannot have it both ways. You can't preach acceptance and then you don't practice acceptance. Now, one other thing I wanted to ask you, when it comes to the other reactions, you know, because I think you said you lost a few friends. I don't know if it was 10, if it was 20, it was 30. And then they also, I recall you saying, removed you as an administrator of a particular group, a poem or a poet. You know, can you tell us about that?
Oh, yes. Well, I have lost between 50 to 60 friends on Facebook, which, you know, working within a community, I've been a promoter and a marketer within the community, like for you know, about a year now, and off of my own merit, you know what I'm saying, myself as a, you know, independent artist, pushing myself, you know, just to see where I can go with it, you know what I'm saying, like without having to work for the white man, period. So I have been doing it, entrepreneur, yes, I have been doing it, you know what I'm saying, I am getting money from it, but it's like, you know, how much I'm getting is neither here nor there. But I'm doing it without having to get a job or go to school. I am self-educated myself. School is an institution. Wake up. Wake up. Self-educate. We popularize these schools, and now y'all popularize this femininity on our males in this music when our youth are looking up to these males as role models.
Right, right, right.
So when our youth is looking up to effeminized males as role models, it confuses the youth.
Yeah, yeah. And
do not confuse the youth on an acceptance of something that should not be deemed acceptable. It's not. I'm not going at anyone who is gay, who is bisexual, transgender, hermaphrodite. Literally, when I state of the feminization of the black male as it pertains to me as a black male and what we go through, I am speaking on that collective because we are the original storytellers. All right? Don't get shit twisted. We are the originators. All right?
Indeed, indeed.
So everything y'all did to us, trying to break us down, when we are the Omega. So the feminization been back ever since slavery, man. They was buck breaking us, man. They broke us down in the barnyards, the plantations, man. They had us dressing up. It's the winners of history get to tell the story. And right now they win in the history, bro. And I'm a black man trying to make history for us. What is February to me when I'm making history every day? That's a lifetime. That's a lifetime. You give me one month, like, and then what? The other 11 months and this month is yours? You know what I'm saying? Nah, I'm going to get back what's mine. I'm going to take what's mine for mine, to provide for mine. Because, look, I'm not flipping and switching my hips and sucking a dick and turning the switch on my daughter. No, my daughter going to see her father being straight up, man up, solid. My daughter wrote her first poem the other day, brother.
Nice. Congrats. Nice. Nice.
Thank you. You know what the title of it was?
What's that?
Black Magic Power.
I love it. And, you know, the other thing to fall in line, because I agree with you, right? I'm not the kind of host of a show, and I don't take a position. right? I think it's disingenuous to just have people on a show and you're talking about something and you try to stay neutral. On this, you can't. One, I agree. I'm a black man, a heterosexual black man, just like you. And what really disturbs me to add to what you're saying is somehow it's a problem when strong black men decide they want to defend themselves and their sexuality. People are so quick to want to see a weak, broken, destroyed, effeminate black man. Like, that's the only way they can deal with us, because they can't handle our strength, right? They can't handle the power. They can't handle the fact that they do know, wait a second, just us, even in silence, is stronger than them when they speak. So there's a lot of, you know, subtle intimidation that they go through, you know, psychologically, just when we enter the space, right? We enter a room. Now, the other thing that I will say is what bothered me was because I interjected in your Facebook post, and I was hearing from people, first, you ain't a black man. I heard from Latino women. I saw a post from white men. And the post that I did see from black men was so suspect that it gave the impression, oh, okay, well, you're a closet. You're closeted.
Yeah.
You know, so, yep. You know, because anything from a black man, a heterosexual black man, anything other than I agree, it's wrong, and there's nothing that that is acceptable. If you say anything other than that, then you are a closeted homosexual black man. I mean, that's the only conclusion you can draw. Now, I will also agree with you that it is a big problem in the industry right now. Like you said, Lil Uzi Vert, Lil Yachty, you know, wearing these blouses and shirts and purses and Young Thug. You know, let's not leave him out of the
Young
equation,
Thug, yeah.
Right? These are, every generation has role models, like you said.
Migos.
Right? Migos.
Migos.
Yeah,
hey.
Yeah. They walked that line too. They definitely walked that line. And so my question to you is, since you spoke out about it, right, do you now see people that you thought were on your side before you made the statement sort of turn? And what is your impression of those people right now that left when you thought, man, you know, I just knew you had my back. Go ahead.
All the sellouts.
Yes.
Come on, bro.
Right.
Sellouts.
Mm-hmm.
Sellouts.
Mm-hmm.
No twang that thing for a little bit of change. Yeah, twang that thing for a little bit of change.
Right.
But you ain't really making change. You ain't really making change. Mom. You ain't really making change. You ain't really making change.
Right.
At all.
Yeah. Well, and the thing, too, you know, and I appreciate that, man. I like that. You know, this is the thing.
Yeah, look.
No, I like it. And I think, you know, in terms of now that you've put yourself out here, and again, I support you, you're not by yourself. What's your next move, right? Is this going to be something that you're going to continue to speak about? Or do you feel like somehow, you know, you've said enough and that the point's been made? But what are your future plans for this particular topic? And is there a poem in the works for something like this?
Man, there's a poem in the works. There's songs in the works. I'm getting connected with another strong heterosexual black man in the community that also does, like, you know, he battle raps and he raps as well. So it's like, I feel like at this point, it's a great time for me to shift up out of the poetry community. I'm still a poet, but shifting out of the poetry community entirely and, like, indulging into rap. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, go back to that and still have my poetry, but definitely with the rap spoken word aspect. You know what I'm saying? I want to be able to integrate at all times. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to have there be any constrictions to me as an artist when I create, you know what I'm saying, at any point. So, but what we're going to be coming together as is to, you know how they've been preaching, I guess, LGBTQ acceptance, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want to be preaching, if you want to call me a preacher at this point, not a, you know what I'm saying, not your pastor, but a street preacher or something, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Heteronormativity, you know, the emasculinization, again, of the male, Mm-hmm. And for the for the females, the demasculinization of females. So that's what he will be adding. Component he will be adding to that. So I'm like, wow. Wow, he's taking it even further with that. So I'm like, yeah, we're gonna be coming together on some like conscious like label stuff where it's like, yeah, we're gonna be going out and recruiting the real. Recruit the real. You know what I'm saying? When we recruit, you know what I'm saying? Like, look, you ain't gotta toot your ass up. For real. Like come to the real though. Like so we so that's the next like move with that, and then continue in with the connections I have within the schools, the educational systems,
right?
And then the events that I set up, you
right?
Know what I'm saying, for myself to be able to do what I love to do.
Got it. Yeah, and you said something that was really interesting, because you're right. They're flip flopping on the roles. They want the men to be women, and they want the women to be men. In short, and that in and of itself, you know, why that there's this attack, because you don't see this. Right. Attack on any other race of people but black people. Right. In the industry, you don't see it. It does not happen. Now, they may still be in existence, but you don't see the obvious ploy to make that happen. And then the backlash when you fight back. You know, I think that's the one thing that also really irritates me. You know, I have a right to protect myself. So and if you're upset about that, then the question becomes why? Right. You know, I don't butt into, Latino business. Right. I don't butt into Asian business. I don't butt into, white business. I don't put my thoughts on topics and issues that are outside of my culture, but more importantly, outside of my gender. This is a gender and race based conversation. So if you're like you said earlier, if you're not black and a man, the only thing you need to be doing is sitting down, taking a seat. Listen and learn. And anybody that feels like they have to, it's almost like they have this, they think that they have a right to speak for black people. And I think that goes back to America, right? Never positioning black men in a position of teacher, right? Of educator, of someone that's intelligent and can stand up and speak for themselves. You know, that's the whole, we sick today, boss. Right. You know, that whole step and fetch it mentality. So when they encounter a smart, educated, well-spoken, a determined, focused black man, it's so diametrically opposed to what the messaging is in the overall industry that one, I can see why you have a hard time with it. But guess what? It's here and you need to get your head out of your you know what, and you need to deal with it. Now, you mentioned sellout. I do have a problem with other black men, and I'm not going to say any names, but I in your city that came for you, right, on social media. And, San Diego is a microcosm, right, of the industry.
Small town.
Right?
Real small town, bro. Small town, small mindset. Mindset of what it is.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
What entertainment really is.
Right, and this goes to freedom of speech. You know, I mentioned that before we started recording. You know, you as a spoken word artist, the irony, right? And you can jump on this, but the irony, a spoken word artist is that they live on the platform of free speech because that's how they make their living, on speech, right? Now you don't like the speech that I have a freedom to speak. So you're violating your own code, right? You don't want anybody dictating to you what you speak on, right? But you want to dictate to me what I speak on because you don't like it. So how do you feel about the contradiction that exists in that?
Wow. Man. My feelings on that, it's like, if we are a community, I feel like at the end of the day, no matter what your disagreements or what you don't believe or, do believe, if we are a community, we're still here for each other.
Mm-hmm.
I done lost 50, 60 people that are not here for me right now. Like, they're not here. They were here for me when they thought that they could have their way with me, or they didn't know what side of the fence I was playing, you know what I'm saying? But, like, now, when you take a stand, like Brother El Haj Malik El Shabazz said, my brother, mm-hmm. stand for something or fall for anything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this is something that is so deliberate in the industry of which I'm working in and around. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. In and around. And it's like, if not me, then who?
Right. If not now, then when?
If not now, then when? Because y'all really faking the funk. And I'm really with the funk. I got the soul. Like, I really got the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Really got the, like, it's in my voice. It's in my tone. It's in
mm-hmm.
them years.
Mm-hmm.
27 years.
Mm-hmm.
I've been here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We don't even get to live to see past 25 no more, brother.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is postpartum. This is my postpartum.
Yeah, that's true. No, you're absolutely right. And that's a, wow, man, I got goosebumps when you said that, but you're right. You know, you make it past 25 and you have surpassed the life expectancy, right, of the average young black male in America. You've surpassed it. So you're right. You and that's a very important fact. But the other item that I wanted to share and get your thoughts on, you mentioned, and you're correct, that the effeminization, which ultimately we know leads to homosexuality, if it's not already there, it prevents procreation. So now you have not only killed your generation and prevented it from growing and becoming something else and more and better, now you have ended the possibility of future generations, which is also something that I, you know, conspiracy wise, there are plans, deliberate plans for that. They're like, look, if we can't get you in jail, if we can't get you on, you know, hooked on drugs, if we can't kill you in the street, if you are going to be making money, right, and getting some power, we're going to make you gay, turn you out, and you're not going to procreate. So that's another way to kill, right? It's another way to end life, right? It's almost like a sexuality lynching, if you will.
Forcefully. And not naturally.
Right. Absolutely.
This is another one of my posts, because there was multiple posts that I put up on Facebook, and I was like, we are made to turn gay forcefully over time,
mm-hmm.
not naturally.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So anyone that is gay at this point has been affected that tremendously by this subject, the effeminization of the black male. Like, it has impacted all of our lives.
Yeah, absolutely.
All of our lives.
And
whether,
you know,
we are
mm-hmm.
straight,
mm-hmm.
bisexual,
mm-hmm.
gay,
mm-hmm.
transgender males,
mm-hmm.
it has affected all of our lives tremendously.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, you're right.
So it God told me in my, it's like, the my stand is to preserve black family. Boom. Sustain black family. Maintain black family.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
stay
mm-hmm.
straight.
Mm-hmm.
Because God created man and woman for man and woman to procreate.
Mm-hmm.
Man and woman create child. Not man and man, not woman and woman.
Right.
Man and woman create child.
Right.
And
indeed.
I believe in God the Father, God the Mother, and God the Child.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not this Holy Ghost
mm-hmm.
stuff where you take out the middleman, because
mm-hmm.
my relationship is with God.
Mm-hmm.
And God alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
God isn't alone.
Mm-hmm.
God isn't alone.
Mm-hmm.
God got his woman. God got his wife with him.
Mm-hmm.
He got his queen with him.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I believe.
Okay.
Since a youngster.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I hear you.
We were made to procreate. We were made to reproduce. So I feel like it's been necessary tactics put into play by a opposing force
mm-hmm.
that has flipped the script, you
mm-hmm.
know what I'm saying? And
mm-hmm.
people are so far up in the shit and
mm-hmm.
so far with the dicks up in their shit,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying? They
mm-hmm.
can't fucking untwist the shit. They can't untwist these. They can't even spark these fucking brain cells that I'm sparking right now with
mm-hmm.
what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, you're right.
I can't even talk for 2 minutes.
Yeah.
I can't even have conversations with you.
Mm-hmm.
I talk to you for 30 seconds, and I'm like, what are we here for?
Right.
You're a sellout.
Right.
I'm independent. Mm-hmm. I'm not bending my ass. I'm not tooting my ass up.
Right.
Pushing my ass back. You ain't pushing my shit in.
Right.
A man has never fucked me in my life. I've never sucked a man's dick in my life. Mm-hmm. It's not happening for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
So if you with that shit, get the F up out my life.
Yeah.
So that's how I feel on that.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, look, man, I applaud you, right? Because the courage that it takes to stand up in an industry that rewards, you know, homosexuality and the sexual fluidity, right, more than it does actual talent, that's the issue that we have to fight and overcome. And we shouldn't have to be felt or be made to feel like we have to leave an industry where our gifts are, because most of the people in that industry can't handle the truth, right? So, like you said, God is in control, right? He's got the final word. And the voices that we have to be spoken, right, in that industry, regardless as to who likes it or doesn't like it, right? You somebody's got to be the thorn, okay? Somebody's got to speak the truth in spite of what somebody thinks. So I want to applaud
majority opinion, yeah.
You know, right. Indeed. So I applaud you, my brother. I support you. I definitely want to have you back on the show because I do think, you know, you said that you're writing a poem, you know, about it. I want you to come back, if you will, excuse me, and read it or recite it, I should say, to us, you know, when you get that. But, you know, as we close out here, did you have any sort of closing or final thoughts before we end the show today? Like where people can find you, social media, anything?
Find me on Instagram at Greg McKnight Jr. That's Greg McKnight Jr. GREGMCKNIGHTJR. Facebook, Greg McKnight Jr. as well. SoundCloud, Greg McKnight Jr. on every platform. And, man, just to close out, brother, man, like, Tupac is highly upset and disappointed at what's going on in hip-hop and rap today. And the effeminization of the black male as it stands today has been a subjugation that's been going on for centuries. And if I don't stand up and if other people don't start standing up about it and people just submit and be cowards to this systematic oppression that we all face, how can we really cultivate the future?
Right. Right. Indeed.
I'm really about the future. I'm really about the future. Like, my ex-stepson is one of ESPN top 100 prospect basketball right now.
Mm-hmm.
I coached him for 3 seasons.
Mm.
I was supposed to go play basketball overseas. My daughter, 5 years old, she did her first poem. She loved to write. She loved to draw. She would play basketball, stickball. She got the stick and playing stickball. Mm. Like she's just real, like, creative, and just I just allow that fluidity of human. Allow true fluidity of human, and that is the family. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Involve yourself within. If you don't have children of your own, involve yourself as a big brother or a big sister in a mentoring program, into schools. Like, involve yourself. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, no matter what the naysayers say, speak your truth anyway.
Right.
So
that's a great...
Again, that's...
Go ahead.
So, again, my Instagram is at Greg McKnight Jr., Facebook, Greg McKnight Jr., SoundCloud, Greg McKnight Jr. Y'all can hit me up, connect with me. Like, I really love art, and I appreciate and support, like, real art and real talent.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And just want everybody to keep pushing and to keep striving with greatness, not for greatness, because we're all great. So strive with greatness, everyone.
All right. Well, man, that's a great way to close it out for us. And, you know, I want to thank the listeners for checking out another podcast of Ferocious Talk. You got some great food for thought. My name is A1 with Greg McKnight Jr. And what do we say, Greg?
We ain't scared.
That's right.
We ain't scared, brother.
We ain't scared.